plate. Now, let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Smash the dirty red scum!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Wrong. Kill! Filthy bastard, Tommy! I hate him! I hate him!
Okay, well,
You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Community Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin. And today, Michael, we have a special guest on. Tell us about our guest.
Yes, we do. Today we have a friend of mine, Marlene Whitkey. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about a topic that we really don't touch on at all with our show, and that is being hard of hearing or hearing impaired. It's just something that we just don't touch on too much. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Michael, and how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing really good. I have the little bit of rush to get here from White Rock, B.C., you know. But, hey.
It's all part of the show.
It's all part of it, yes. So everything is doing well. And also may add that Marlene, when we did the road trip, Marlene and I rode together. So I was kind of her navigator, and she drove the whole way. And she's a very safe driver, too.
Nice.
I'm glad you said that.
Nice.
So it's kind of fun how we all wind up connected, though, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk to you a little bit today about being hard of hearing or hearing impaired. And some people do know that I have a 35% hearing loss. But it's kind of one-sided, me talking about it. And I also remember while we were talking between Chilliwack and Canmore, that you have a bunch of really neat tools to make life a little easier if you are hard of hearing. So why don't we start with tell us a story about how you wound up with your hearing impairment.
I'm not too sure. I'm kind of summarizing my life, and as a child I had a lot of severe ear infections, and we never really got to the bottom of it until later on when I found out I had allergies. So needless to say, I had ruptured eardrums over and over and over, and it actually found out all three of myself and my other two siblings were the same, and they ended up with hearing aids before I did. So it was not a hereditary thing from our parents, because their hearing was excellent. It was more to do with health. I didn't realize my hearing disability until after I had my third child, and I was about 35, 36 then, and it was a matter of, you know, I was running and listening to the kids more, and I was getting more and more worn down, and that's when I looked into it.
I have had a fun experience with my one kid, because he was born premature. They actually did a hearing test on him, And the real fun part was is the audiologist was saying, well, your kid is fine, but you, on the other hand, did you know?
Yeah.
So did you have any fun experiences like that with your kids, or their hearing was always fairly normal?
With the kids, it wasn't so bad because they were just little at the time, mm-hmm. And I compensated for it at the time. I didn't realize I was doing that. But later on, when I found out that I did have a hearing disability, and I didn't have hearing aids yet, I would tell my husband, you know, if we're out somewhere and somebody says something to me and I take it in the wrong context, please let me know so that, you know, I can get back into the conversation again. And that used to be a bit of a challenge because everybody would break down and laugh because I'd come out with some answer that was way off the wall from what they were talking about. So I learned to take it with a grain of salt.
How did that lead into you actually deciding to go get a hearing test?
I went for a hearing test, and I found out my hearing was worse than what I had thought it was. But what really got me into getting to understand and to not be sensitive about my hearing loss and things was I was manager of a housekeeping department in a retirement home, and an elderly lady came in to give a workshop on the residents there for hearing disability and that. And, of course, nosy me, I gets in there and I have to listen and see what it's all about, and I became totally fascinated by all of the equipment, all the stuff that's out there that can help us and give us more confidence. I started lacking on, you know, my ability to go and be out there in the workforce. I started feeling uncomfortable about going back to school and different things like that. Once I became involved with the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, and I got a lot of information and support and seen all the assistive devices that were out there, it just turned my life around, totally.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? What are some of the things that you found and all that kind of stuff?
Okay. I mean, there's no way you can hit on all the stuff that's out there. I mean, there's a website that you can go to for assistive listening device equipments, and I always go into ALDS and look at their list of things and read about their stuff and that. They're a BC local organization. But the first thing that got me was doing shows, promotion shows and that. Mm-hmm. Not being able to hear and things like that. The FM system was just fantastic. Personal listening systems where me, the hard of hearing person, can either have a little box in my hand with a microphone, directional microphone, and point it at the person that's talking to me, and I can hear them clearly. That was one of my first little contacts. Then the FM system, I went back to university just for Elder College startup, and I wanted to kind of stimulate my gray matter again. And I wanted to do computer. I'd never had a computer, and right. I found it extremely exhausting and very difficult. I come out of the classroom just totally drained, trying to listen and pick up everything. So then I borrowed an FM system from the Hard of Hearing Association, and I tried it out. I got the instructor to wear the transmitter, and I tried it out in the computer room. It worked fantastically. So then I got the Elder College interested in it, and they got a whole system for Elder College, and it was used all the time. Wow. As far as I understand, I don't know if it's still in use now. I'm not involved there. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the things. Another thing was we had an instructor who was extremely, extremely good, but she had a very, very soft voice. So I found another little device that really worked, and it was like a chatterbox, and it was her own personal amplifier kind of a thing. She wore it around her waist and in the classroom, and everybody could hear her very clearly. She just loved it. So those are our two little things. Now, the latest little toy that I play with, I've had it for a long time, but never really made a lot of use of it. But when I'm out shopping and I have my cell phone with me, I don't always hear it if it's in my purse or in my pocket, or if I'm driving, I might not notice it. It's trying to get through to me. So I have the little, it's called an ICOM, and it's an induction loop that goes around my neck, and it picks up my phone whenever right. It goes off. And I just have to push the screen on it, which activates it, right. And it's like hands-free.
Yeah, actually, I remember that because it looked like a bit of a strange square necklace or something, right?
Yeah, looks like a medic alert button that seniors wear, but it's not.
Yeah, okay. But I remember you one time we weren't driving. I think we were in a hotel or something like that, and you were talking on it.
Yes.
And I thought it were better than any of the functionally, it looked and worked better than any of the Bluetooth systems I've ever seen.
Well, it's like, and the Bluetooth, most of those Bluetooths are what, stuck in your ear.
Yeah, and you have to take your hand so far away from the steering column and things like that. I don't know. It just looked really cool, and I thought it looked way safer than anything else that they have.
Well, in all these listening devices, Matt, now I've tried a lot of them over the years, mm-hmm. and the ones that go into the ears I'm not really fond of. Mm-hmm. I tried to educate people to take earbuds that hang over the ears, not in the ears, because it helps save your hearing. And the other thing, too, with this neck loop thing, there's no weight on your ears. There's no nothing, you know, it's just a light wire around your neck. And it's just like somebody's talking into both of my hearing aids at the same time. It's like they're standing right next to me talking into my hearing aid.
It looked way, way comfortable. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And way more comfortable than anything else I've seen.
I find a lot of people are very, very self-conscious about their hearing disability, and they would think that wearing what I wear would be making them look old, but I just stick it down inside my shirt or in a pocket when I'm out shopping around, and nobody notices it anyhow.
Yeah, the stigma to admitting that you have a hearing loss. You touched on one of them that was like people would say, hey, she always comes up with this wild, off-the-wall answer to a joke or a conversation or something like that because you missed a word.
Yeah.
The other one that I get is when I tell people that I have a hearing loss, they automatically go, huh? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
what was that you said?
Yeah, exactly, right? And I had to be honest with you, it still happens to me that because I guess I have a blonde streak. It takes me like 5 minutes to catch on to the fact that they're poking fun at me. It's like, oh, God, they were poking fun at me. It's like, the whole conversation's over now. It's It's like, oh, yeah.
It's like you've gotten so used to it that it doesn't faze you anymore. It's mm-hmm. just, it's like water off a duck's back, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I found the same thing. Like people would say something, and if I misunderstood, even though with my hearing aids, they'll say, well, don't you have hearing aids? And I said, yes, I do. But hearing aids are not the same as your own natural hearing.
And that is also something else that people have asked me, because I do radio and TV and movies and things like that, and sometimes I'm sitting at the sound station doing it. It isn't the same, because that's why I don't wear the aids most of the time, especially when I'm filming, because you remember when we were doing the road trip, I was doing a lot of filming.
Yep.
And you can't hear the... there's tones that you can't hear, or there's tones that that are so over amplified that it's like, oh, I thought there was something there, and it really wasn't, you know. Yeah. So I don't wear them to work a lot for that reason.
Yeah.
It's not the same as your natural hearing. But with that being said, though, you and a few other people have told me that that they've improved that a lot, that they can actually they can tune the aid so that some of those problems go away, right?
That's correct. Your hearing aids today are so highly technical that they can put it on a machine and adjust it perfectly for your hearing. But where a lot of people will get a new hearing aid and they'll put it in, and then next thing you know, it's sitting in the drawer, is because in most cases the sound is so new to them, or they have so slowly lost their sound, mm-hmm. that they don't realize it. Then when the hearing aid goes in, which should be, quote, a normal listening area for them, it's so loud that it irritates them. And in a lot of cases, you have to go back to your dispenser and ask them, can you bring it down a little bit? I'm finding them hard to adjust to. And that's where a lot of people fall short because of that. When it comes to, especially seniors, I'm one, but I always try and encourage them to try and talk to somebody about it, or have somebody go with them. I've had one lady actually ask me to go to the hearing aid dispenser with her when she got her hearing aid, her new hearing aids and that, and to help her, because that's what they're there for. They're there to help you adjust to it, not just to sell you the hearing aid and watch you walk out the door.
I hadn't been told that way when I was 16 and lost my hearing. So.
Well, I must say, Michael, back in those days, it was different.
Hey. We're pretty close to the same age. I should say, at least it felt we were pretty close to the same age, because we caught a lot of the same jokes when we were traveling together. So
yeah. So. Yeah. But, yeah. Technology is moving so fast in the hearing aid and hearing assistive devices. So fast. And there's other things too. I just want to like to touch on one thing that's really dear to my heart, mm-hmm. and that is I really got close to the young children, and really when I was involved with the Canadian Hard of Hearing myself, really promoted the young children, supporting them and getting them active in the Canadian Hard of Hearing, because they are our future to keep it going. And it was just totally fascinating seeing these young children, and I mean like really young toddlers and stuff. And then the other thing that's really dear to my heart is the hearing dogs. My mm-hmm. cousin has a hearing dog, and she's just absolutely fabulous. I've been involved with a number of people that have gotten hearing dogs, and they are just a lifeline for those people.
I have heard a lot of really good things about the hearing dogs. Just simply walking down the street for people, or knowing that somebody was at the door or something like that. It was like they said it was an immense help.
I can give you a little story about that right now, and that is I just talked to her today, and she was telling me that her and two friends were out in her back patio having a nice cool drink the other day, and her little dog came up to her and started getting her attention and wouldn't back off. So she says, well, what's the matter? Show me. And she took her right to the front door. The three of them were sitting on the patio, didn't hear the doorbell ringing, but the dog did. Same as today when I phoned her, she was outside. The dog came running outside to her and started at her. What do you want? What is it? And she took her right directly to the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now, for all I know, for our listeners, if people were willing to call us online on the show, we have a little signal that has the flashing signal for it on the studio. I'm just wondering if phone calls would have the same for that as well, like a flashing signal for it to see that the phone is ringing or not.
In the assistive listening devices, they have what they call a master one, like where it can be hooked up to your doorbell, it can be hooked up to your phone, it can be hooked up to the different things in your house, and you can have that actually in your bedroom on your nightstand, so if something happens at night, you can look at it right away and see what it is.
Right, right.
Yeah, they have unbelievable assistive devices for helping you. There's strobe lights, if your phone's ringing, that'll flash.
Yeah.
To let you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. We have that similar device, similar to what we have on our station here. So,
yeah. And iPhone have that built in. Oh, that's right. You, Marlene didn't actually get to see my phones because all my phones were tucked into our central console in the car. But no, they don't ring. They flash at me.
Yeah.
They vibrate.
Yeah.
I leave them in.
At least they vibrate.
What's that?
At least they vibrate, don't they?
Yeah, they vibrate and they flash at me.
Yeah.
So I see this light bouncing on the table.
Right.
And that's how I know that my cell phone's ringing.
All right. So we're way behind of our break. So can you hold on for just a moment?
Yes.
All right. So you're tuned in to the Community Living Show. Our guest today is, I forget her name.
Marlene Witski.
Yes. So she's the, sorry, I forgot who she represents.
Well, she has been with the Hard of Hearing Society, right?
Right.
Yes, I have. I worked for the BC chapter for a number of years.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so we will be back in a moment. You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on two stations. Our full-hour stations now, both on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM and streaming online at cooperadio.org. That's on Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. We're also on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at citr.ca. And, of course, our broadcast show is on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back to our show. And, of course, we're also on the National Campus and Radio Association networks, so we will be back in just a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts around Commercial Drive and beyond at Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studio, Bomber Brewing, Stormcrow Tavern, People's Co-op Bookstore, Mintage, High Life Records and Music, Bone Rattle Music Limited, JQ Clothing Limited, The Rio Theater, The Vancouver Music Gallery, North Van, and Tapestry Music Limited and White Rock.
What would we do without our friends?
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association networks. We are broadcasting this show on the Program Exchange or the Community Radio Exchange. You can go to their site as well, access through our downloads as well. So check them out. Check us out. We are part of the National Community Association networks. And we're talking to
Marlene Witski.
Yes, and that's Michael Rubin there, Michael Rubin Clark. So
we were talking to Marlene about being hard of hearing or having a hearing impairment. And the next bunch of questions, Marlene is a mother and a grandmother.
And a great-grandmother.
You're a great-grandmother, too? What?
Yes.
Really? That was surprising. I didn't expect to hear great-grandmother. Mm. You should see how young Marlene actually looks. and acts. I mean, she doesn't look or act like a granny at all. But you were saying that in another conversation that that we have, like, because usually when we do interviews, we talk to people ahead of time a little bit, so we have an idea of how the conversation's going to go. Mm. And you were saying in that conversation that that you actually had to teach your kids and your grandkids how to deal with your hearing problems.
Yes. Because I lost my hearing fairly young, and I ended up with a daughter later in life, I therefore had grandchildren, too, that were closer to her age. And I looked after the kids. I spent as much time as I could with them, and lots of times they would spot my hearing aid, like when they got to be about 2 years old or so, and then they start asking questions. And so I would just get down to their level. I'd take my hearing aid out of my ear, and I just kind of put it in their hand and let them look at it. And I told them, I says, Grandma's ears are broken. She can't hear you very well, and this little machine allows me to hear you better. And there was never, ever a question after that. They just automatically knew. And it, like I said, I really didn't have a lot of problems with the children. It was the adults that were the biggest problem.
Yeah, I can see that, them being a little more stubborn. But, I mean, that's something that, because I know for myself that not being able to hear as well as the average, that it causes some relationship problems. And if you're able to communicate that, hey, this is what's going on, doesn't that make those relationships smooth over and a little easier for everybody?
Yes, definitely. If you can hear better, you're more in tune to your partner or your family around you. But we have to always be aware of the fact that even though you have your hearing aids, there's still some shortcomings. So it also takes them time to adjust. Now, this is funny because I spent so much time educating my family and my friends how to talk to me, how to approach me so that I would get all their conversations and that. And that was my whole thing, was teaching people how to communicate with me. Well, in time, I realized my husband's hearing was deteriorating. I noticed it by the signs I was seeing. So I told him, I said, I think you better go and get a hearing test done and that. So anyhow, we found out that his hearing was deteriorating, but they had advised him not to wear hearing aids in his job because he was an automotive mechanic and it would just be more frustrating. So that was fine. But all the years I educated him how to talk to me, I talked to him normally, like the kids in that. They're in another room, I called their name, I talked to them, and that was fine. He wasn't answering me. And I thought he had selective hearing, but no, he didn't. He had a hearing disability, and I had to learn to communicate with him the way I taught him to communicate with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's called a learning curve all the way around, you know, like.
Everybody's got to learn. So when we were in Golden, I think it was, there a car had turned a corner and was coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was behind you, and the automatic reaction is, hey, Marlene, there's a car coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't respond. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it hit me. Oh, yeah, that's right. She can't hear me.
Oh, yeah, we were crossing the street.
Yeah, we were crossing the street.
Yeah.
And you couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was too busy talking to somebody else. I wasn't focused on you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's even though I was trying to warn you, is like, but I had to like think, is like, okay, now I got to think of some other way to get Marlene's attention so that she scoots off the road so that his car can go by.
I guess maybe, Michael, we should have had some pea shooters and could pea shoot everybody.
yeah, but
get
that
my
was the whole
attention first.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah, get your attention. Hey, look, there's a car coming at you.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point is a lot of people that I know that have hearing problems, they don't hear what's behind them.
That's right. Because if you really look at people, I always test, if I figure somebody's got a hearing disability, I will test them without them knowing it. And that is by putting something in front of me while I'm talking to them so that they can't read my face, and that way they can't make out everything that you're saying, and you know they have a hearing impairment, and that's what a lot of the Canadian Hard of Hearing, they give classes on, they call it speech reading, you know, and that was a really, really good one that has helped out me a lot. But there's something else that you can actually get for yourself to actually help yourself with speech reading. And you can purchase it through the Canadian Hard of Hearing. It's called Sound Ideas Managing Hearing Loss. And you can get it on a CD. When I was working in the office there, I used to get a lot of phone calls on people that, you know, lived in out areas and didn't have access to classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one person in particular was a banker, and I told him about it, and I actually sent him a copy from our office to borrow out of our library, and he got back to me. He says, that was the most life-saving thing you ever did for me. But a lot of it is it's not big heavy-duty stuff, you know. It's very, very simple, but it's amazing how it helps you.
Because I notice you're very intent on watching people's faces while they're talking.
Oh, yes, because my hearing is deteriorating considerably.
Right.
That was one of the things I noticed is a lot of people that are hard of hearing, they focus very intently on your face. So,
yep. And the harder you have to work at trying to interpret what people are saying to you, the more tired and drained you get.
Yeah, because is it because you're expelling a lot of energy just trying to stay focused?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, that was one of the other things that you. What are some of the other things that you do to help educate people about hearing loss and in communicate in helping people to communicate through hearing loss?
What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I try and bring things very much to their attention. Like if I'm having a hard time understanding somebody, I'll let them know, look, I'm having a hard time, and I have a hearing disability, and you will have to maybe slow down a little bit or enunciate very clearly. That's one thing I noticed about you, Michael. You do enunciate very clearly and distinctly, and you don't talk fast, which helped me a lot when we were traveling, because that's one of the hardest things for me to do is to follow conversation when I'm driving.
Oh, thank you. I hadn't realized that I enunciated that well. Wow.
Yeah,
I guess it's from years of doing radio with Kelly.
It takes a long time to do that.
We've been doing this show for, what is it, 5 years now?
Close to it.
Close to 5 years. Yeah. So being able to focus on somebody's face helps them communicate with you, and slowing down and making sure that they actually pronounce each syllable of the word.
Yeah, well, yes, definitely, because everybody's hearing disability is different, and most of the times it's your higher tones that you start losing. You might just have certain tones that are missing to start with, very minimal, you know, and that can increase as time goes on and change. But, yeah, just enunciating very clearly and not speaking too fast. And talk about not speaking too fast. I used to give quite a few demos and talks at organizations and that, and showing them different equipment and trying it out and that. And I'm not a public speaker. I'm a behind the scenes person in most cases. But I got up there and did it because I wanted to get it out there and try and help people. And first thing I would tell them is, I have to tell you before I get started, I get going on this topic, and I get so warmed up and hot on it, I get going faster and faster and faster till it's almost like diarrhea of the mouth. Please put up your hand and tell me to slow down.
Right. That's the other part of to Marlene, and I guess that'd be a topic for another show. Marlene is quite the activist. She says she's really not, but I can tell that she really is. If it's something that needs to get done in our community, that Marlene would step up to the plate and make sure it happened.
I did for quite some time. I have fallen back on it in the last few years because of personal things. But yeah, I miss it. I really do miss it, but maybe I'll get back out there again. We'll see.
I could think of a radio show that they could use a person like that.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah,
that's possible.
Yeah, yeah. On a more serious note, because we Paul Gilbert helps us out a lot with the Disability Caucus, yeah. And he lives in Victoria.
Who's that?
Paul Gilbert.
Paul Gilbert, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the BC Disability Caucus. They worked with the NDP in Victoria also.
They did help out a lot a bit because of the what was happening with Christy Clark and the BC Liberals that was happening there. And
I don't know how political you really are, because while we were traveling on the road trip to Camor, Cheryl tries not to be political.
She's like,
I'm not political. It's like, but just by what she is actually doing, trying to build housing and things like that, she really is quite political.
Yes, I know. Cheryl and I did speak about it, and I told her, I said, yes, we have to smile and nod.
Yeah. All right, I've got to take one more break, and we'll continue on the conversation. Yes, so we'll be back in a moment. You're tuned into Community Living Show. I'm Kelly. This is Michael. We're on the both of our two Vancouver stations, Co-op Radio CFR 100.5 FM, and we're also on CITR 101.9 FM, and we're also streaming on the NCRA broadcast stations. If you like to help us out, you can email us, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. So we'll be back in a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM. With Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin. How are you doing these days, Michael?
Actually, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, so
lots of exciting stuff, and of course we We are talking with Marlene Witzke, and how's everything going going in Chilliwack now?
It's actually, excuse me, it's very clouded over and a little bit cooler today, which is nice because I have family en route from the north coming, trying to get through those fire zones to get back to Chilliwack.
Yeah. I just came back from Kamloops from the provincial games, and near Ashcroft, around that area, is just blazing with fire, forest fire. Yeah. It's just terrible. Our thoughts, our prayers are through the people with Ashcroft as well. So
Yeah. I know that's when that and 100 Mile House is some of the more harder hit areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Williams Lake is starting to have the hit as well, so... I just saw a posting from BC Transit saying that they won't be doing any service on it because of the forest fire. So our thoughts and prayers to the people in the northern interior as well. So
Actually, I'll be out there next week.
Whereabouts?
Princeton.
Princeton. Oh, yes. Okay.
We'll be shooting a small documentary about the Princeton Town Hall and a bit about their history out there.
Yeah.
With the it won't be the mayor, but it's going to be one of his assistants.
So, right.
Yeah. Mm. So it should be a lot of fun.
Next thing we know, it's all about survival through the town, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big thing.
Excuse me. I don't think the town core for Princeton will should be pretty okay. Yeah. There's not a lot of wooded area around it, but you never know, right? That was pretty fun when we were in Princeton, though.
Yes.
Actually, I almost got left behind that particular day because I got into talking with the folks about their history. So I was like, oh no, wait, they all left. I gotta go. you've had some really interesting stories, Marlene, about teaching kids in the community about how to one deal with their hearing impairments, as well as dealing with family members that have hard of hearing. You know, it's you seem to do a lot of education, and you're also involved with the Canadian Society for that, right? How do people get a hold of that society, and how does the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association how do they actually help people and families deal with hearing problems?
we'll start with the Canadian Hard of Hearing BC chapter, which is our local provincial organization. And then there is also the national one, which is in Ontario. That's above that. But below the chapter, there were they call branches.
Right.
We used to have a lot of branches at one time across BC, but a lot of them have just died out and just aren't happening because things are changing so fast, and we have to find a way to keep people interested.
Right.
But we still have a few branches, and if you go into the website for the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, BC chapter, it's www.chha-bc.org. And they'll give you information for contacting them. They have a local office in Chilliwack.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want that phone number?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's 1-604-795-9238. Now, I don't know if they still have a toll-free number or not, but anyhow, that's what the local office is. And they'll give you information and direct you wherever they feel that you need that help from. They have all kinds of stuff that they can assist you with. They have a library of information there. Like I said, it depends on the individual. Like, there is a lot of things out there that a lot of people aren't aware of. We did some, education in banks. They have banks that have areas for hard-of-hearing people. A lot of the banks were doing that. Over in England, the taxis are looped for people with hearing aids, so you can hear better.
We're just looking through the website now, and very interesting website, and you can also sign up for a newsletter?
Yep, that's right. There's a lot of stuff out there. You just have to really advocate for yourself. That's how I got a lot of it in the community. I got infrared system in our community culture center where they have plays and stuff like that.
Right.
That was because I wanted it.
Okay.
You know, and you just have to prove that it's needed, and we did. We proved that it was needed. Next thing you know, there was donations coming in to put it in place. So, yeah, but if those things fall through the cracks, people don't acknowledge that they need it or want it, then it just dies.
Oh, I'm looking at the website, and it's really easy to sign up to get the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
We should do that for the show, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And then off the side, it has different articles about captioning, cochlear, implants, hearing aids, and other techno aids. I like that one.
Yeah.
Hearing loss in the news, related noise issues, and a topic that that I'm a little fond of, tinnitus.
There we go.
correct me if I'm wrong, that's the ringing in the ears. You have a constant ringing in your ears?
Yes. Yeah. And you know something, Michael? You go into Alds, they have special equipment for that.
Well,
it's, we'll have to dig more into that one, too. There's a funny story about this, okay? I'm outside washing my car. And all the neighbors are popping their heads outside, and they're like, "Do you hear a ringing?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Apparently they were testing some kind of system in White Rock through some kind of loudspeaker. They went through the whole town, and whatever the ringing was, it was the normal ringing that I always hear anyway.
Okay.
So I wasn't paying any attention. I just tuned it out because it's like, oh God, my ears are ringing again. Whatever. It's like, oh. Then I actually, somebody brought it up, then I actually did start paying attention to it. But until that point, I wasn't really paying it any attention.
Speaking of tinnitus, now, you may not find it weird, but I don't know. But every time when I don't hear anything, when I don't hear anything, you or anybody else in this room or something like that, and it's all quiet, I sometimes get a little bit of a ringing on my right part of the ear, just a silent one, just a little humming sound or whatever it is. It's constantly going through it, and it seems a little bit weird, but it just sounds inside my head. Get a little bit of a humming sound or some sort of a ringing sound, a bit of it on my right ear, and I'm getting the feeling this could be the tinnitus. Thing in a way. So
it affects everybody differently. Some people will hear a swishing sound, other people like a wind, some people it's like a ringing. It comes in various forms.
Yeah, it's just a little thing. And I'm like almost 40 years old now. And people in their age they're getting older, feels, the signs of things. Am I right?
Yep. Oh, yes. I don't get tinnitus that much. I've been fortunate enough, I'll touch wood when I'm saying that right now. I'm just just occasionally now, the odd time I'll pick it up. And, you know, like I've had my hearing aid since I was about 35.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And a lot of people, and I'm going to say this before we end our show. The thing is, I mean, there are some truck, I imagine there are truck mobiles that do testing hearing. Am I right?
Yeah, some of the companies have mobiles that go out to shows and you know, home shows and things like that, and they will test. WCB does too, but not everybody gets it. My husband was mm-hmm. an automotive mechanic all his life, and he never once had a WCB test wherever he worked.
Right.
So when I noticed his hearing starting to go, I made a point. I told him, you get in touch and find out now through WCB, because mm-hmm. if it's work-related, your hearing loss, WCB will cover you, and that's a big savings.
Right.
And I told him, I want that taken care of before you're finished work.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember the time during the elementary schools, the kids at our schools have to check your hearing testing. I don't know. It was like once every 2 or 3 years when the hearing aid truck mobile came in.
Yeah, I remember in elementary school.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they didn't do it in the high schools.
No.
They stopped doing it in the high schools. I don't know why.
I mean, they should do that for every school for that matter. And in fact, they should do it in senior care homes too. Not only schools, but they should do it in senior care homes. They should do it in hospitals, generally, so that you can hear those testing sounds.
That was one of the things, and I like what Marlene's saying about WCB, because if you work in an area that has a lot of noise, you can actually call WCB as a safety officer and make them come out and test people's hearing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we need
a lot of businesses don't bother with that, though.
And that's a shame, because, you know, even if you're in a quiet facility area, you still need to hear your hearing tested for that matter.
This is something now. My one cousin that had such a hard time with her hearing, she worked in a bank.
Right.
All her life she worked in a bank.
Yeah.
And she was like, eventually she was like totally lost her hearing in one ear. And until she got her new hearing aid, she got the Bicross, where it picks up the sound on the dead ear and puts it into the other ear.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I went back to the bank and I had no idea how noisy it was in there.
Wow.
She said she had no idea at all until after she got her hearing aids.
Right.
So it's that old age thing. Your hearing just slowly disappears, and you don't even realize it. For me, the first thing I heard when my hearing aids were put in was a woman walking past the doorway of the room I was sitting in on carpets, and he asked me, what do you hear? I said, it sounds like the swishing of fabric. Mm. And he smiled at me, and he said, that was her skirt.
All
right, so we're pretty much close to the end of the show, so give us our information one more time.
Which information? The CHAW?
Anything.
Yeah, the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, if you can give us that website one more time for everybody.
Yeah. Okay, Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, BC Chapter, www.chha-bc.org.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the phone number?
604-795-9238.
All right. So we got all that down on our Facebook. You can check our facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio.
Yep.
And of course, email us, communityliving@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter @CLivingRadio.
All right. And thank you for joining us, Marlene.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
Yep. And I will talk to you a little bit later. When the next time I'm going to be in Chilliwack. So, yeah.
Right. Okay.
We should hook up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, yes, that was Marlene Witzke.
Yes.
And do you have any upcoming shows that are upcoming?
August 7th, there is a pride event coming that...
not the gay pride.
Yeah, it does have to do with gay pride, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we had the disability pride event.
We did.
It just passed.
It passed in May, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is. There's something happening about disabilities with that particular event. So
okay.
So yeah, it is a gay parade, but yeah.
All right.
And I'll probably be over there filming.
Cool. All right.
MTS, our friend from
the Rational.
Yeah, the Rational for yeah. Co-op Radio, and Access TV.
Yeah, nice. Sounds good.
He asked me to come out and film that. So yeah,
cool. All right, thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned for upcoming shows that are coming up next. And we'll be back next week, same time, same station. And thank you, Michael.
All right,
thank you to our guests, Marlene Wicksky, who's a member of Hearing Loss Association of BC. So thank you very much.
All right.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you all again next week. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never leave without you by my side. And I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave the key. If I'd have known in just one second, you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me? I lay down and down, but not I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I got all my life to live, I got all my love to give, and I will survive. I will survive. Head, not to find a pile. I'm trying to mend the pieces of my broken heart. And I spent so many nights just thinking how you did me wrong. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high and you see me. Somebody new. I'm not the chain of little person still in love with you. And now you felt like dropping in and just expect me to be free. Now I'm saving all my love for someone who's loving me. Go on now. To break me with goodbye, think I'd crumble, you think I'd lay down and die. No, not I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I got all my life to live, I got all my love to give, and I will survive. I will survive.
Snatches of music, whole orchestras play inside our heads.
And then it explodes.